In this lesson, we'll take a look at the elements that make up a reliability program. And this is a little bit of a mix between the organizational level parts and within the specific project parts. But overall, they make up what encompasses a reliability program. Now, there's a good number of elements and tasks and so on. And a good friend of mine once talked about his first time that he was asked to put together a reliability project or a set of tasks to make up the program. And he went and found every resource he could find that listed possible activities they could do and listed them all and did and proposed that the project accomplish all kinds of different activities and tools. Now, most programs, one couldn't afford to do all of those activities, and even his couldn't do it either. But it's paring this down to the ones that are essential or important for your particular program. As you build your program, it's to enable the right tools at the right time that allow your organization to make good decisions, in resulting in creating a reliable product that meets or exceeds your expectations. And the idea is to use exactly the right tools and techniques that add the maximum amount of value and then nothing more. There's no need to do things just because, and it's one hallmark of a good reliability program is that it's tailored for each specific task or a project that comes along. Now, back in, I think it was 1996, the Reliability Action Center, RAC, which now I believe is called RIAC, the Reliability Information Action Center, and I think it's even changed its name yet again, created a set of documents that were called the Blueprints. And they list the different elements of a reliability program. And they had, it was between 4 and 6 pages each of explaining what each one of these things is. Now, the definition of a reliability program might take little explanation. It means that you need to have an explicit reliability activity or function within the organization. Now, that may not mean that there's a department or a specific person. Usually there is. But the idea is that it's built into your program. So if you have a project plan, there are reliability elements. If you have a phase gate review process, at each of the major milestones, reliability is called out and specified. So, for example, early on, it might be set the reliability goal. And later, it may be measuring progress towards achieving that goal. But the idea is that the reliability program is the combination of the policy and the infrastructure, say, testing labs and failure analysis facilities. And it also is the resources that are going to gather and analyze data, for example. So who's going to do what? But make it part of your explicit plan as you develop a program or a process, a project or a product or a process. The develop the goals and the requirements is really, well, how good does it need to be? And make that explicit. Write down the goals or the objectives for your program. And then tools like apportionment can help you break that down so that your suppliers can receive an appropriate goal that if they meet that goal, it will contribute to achieving the overall system goal. It's called apportionment. And we'll talk about more about that in a future lesson. But then also requirements. Now, this is part of that definition of reliability. It really has 4 parts. So what's the function and the environment that it's found, and then the probability of success over some duration. So as you're setting requirements, it's not enough to say that it's an outdoor vehicle or all-terrain vehicle. If you're talking about a power supply element that goes and feeds the circuitry in the dashboard. Now, the environment in that dashboard could be very, very different than the outside of the car. It may be warmer, it may be colder, it may be filtered air, it may see petrochemicals or not. It could see direct rain or not, and so on. So for each of those weather elements and the other stresses that apply to a product, what is that local environment to that power supply, which you may be specifying to a power supply vendor? And so then is flush out those requirements at each stage of your goal, not just the top level goal. The other elements of the program include things like design for reliability and accessing progress. So what are the tools and techniques that your design team is using to make the right decisions right at the start? They may have guidelines or best practices or design guides. They may have different tools and simulation facilities that allow them to explore different elements and how it impacts reliability. But then as the program progresses from design to prototype to production, well, how are we doing? What is the reliability estimates? And how does that reflect on how it actually is performing or is expected to perform? And then once you're shipping these products, let's measure it. Let's monitor and measure what we're doing and keep track of that. And then the idea is to create maintenance programs and spare parts and service and support systems for those kinds of systems that allow us to keep the reliability performance at the expected levels throughout the duration of use for the product. So, for example, if a Jeep is going into a military outfit, when I first joined the Army, I was a private and actually drove a Jeep for a few months. And it was one of the old style Jeeps, not one of these Humvee things, which I understand are pretty nice. But I had to learn how to maintain it. And I relied on other people. I have thought through the structure and system and providing training and manuals and spare parts and oil and gas and lubricants and so on that allowed me to properly maintain the vehicle. And so those are just some of the elements, and you can quickly see that it spans the product lifecycle, and it also goes across many different parts of the organization. So this is just one way to break this down, and of course there are other ways. And so the notion of the reliability requirements, I mentioned those earlier as a part of the goals and requirements, but there's also this concept within a reliability program is, well, how important is the reliability performance to our customer? And we talked briefly about interpreting or determining the customer's needs and just mentioned briefly the quality functional deployment. But there's also a long list of things that impact reliability and the customer's perception of that. Everything from the packing material to the way it's delivered and the instruction manuals and so on. There's a lot of soft parts also to how this all works. But the overall impact from a business point of view is, how do all these things impact market share, customer loyalty, and brand? How do we keep track of the impact of reliability on these other attributes? Again, here, marketing and other parts of your organization, rather than just design and operations, may be really good people to be in touch with to get a good understanding of how the work you're doing with the design teams, if that's where you're working, actually makes a difference to the customers and to the perception of the company and the products that are offered. And as you're building a reliability program, you are going to see boundaries and constraints and drivers. And these are things that will shape the style of your program. Some years ago, I was doing an assessment for a consumer product, a division of a company, and they were making consumer products. And it was a very big holiday drive to be on the shelves on time, and it pretty much made up well over half of their sales for the year within the few months of the holidays. And I asked the question of, what are the priorities for the development team? And so please rank order these considerations, these factors. So the functionality of the product, the time to market for the product, shipping it on time, the quality and reliability of the product, and its cost. So some organizations work to create as low an expense product as they can. Others drive to create the most functionality and are constantly adding the newest, coolest widgets to their systems. And others are trying to make a very durable or reliable product. where she was very adamant in her response. She said, let me rank order these for you in our program. It's time to market, time to market, time to market. She said, if we don't ship on time, we might as well not ship at all. And she was pretty serious about that. So the criteria for her was the market and getting to market on time and onto the shelves on time and so on for their particular product and the way it was sold. But in other organizations, the industry standards and the safety criteria, say a safety critical system that has to be certified by TÜV or CSA, different certification bodies, that it may be very expensive to obtain a certification. And so changing the product is done very judiciously so that you don't trigger another round of certification. The barrier to make changes is then very, very high. So getting it right to start, or as close as possible to perfect as you can from the start, is a very big driver for those kinds of organizations. In other organizations, it's purely regulatory, is that the product has to perform and meet these very strict performance guidelines. And so it's a go, no go on those criteria. So that may be top of mind for the development team. In other cases, it's a business driver or a customer driver that's setting the priorities for the development process. Not every organization works to create just profit. It might be market share or brand loyalty or completing their portfolio, or it might be to fill a niche, and the profit margin is flexible. It's large enough that it covers things working or not working, yet it's a top driver might be meeting that need, providing those particular functions. There's all kinds of ways that the focus of an organization can be tailored, and reliability could be either a dominant driver or a secondary driver in each of these. So one way to think about this is that the let's say you're looking at a product and you find a defect in it, and it may in fact say 1% of your products. Now, in some organizations, that would shut down the system and you would fix that problem before you shipped another unit, especially if that 1% was impacting the safe performance and or regulatory compliance of that particular product. But let's say that the 1% was, say, going to a consumer market and it was a hot new product and there was plenty of profit margin, and the 1% failure rate expected in the field would be a tolerable warranty expense or accrue to a tolerable warranty expense. But if you miss the market by, say, a week or a month, you would lose 10 times that amount of money. And so it's in balance. The reliability is not the only driver for the development team. There's many other priorities. But the understanding the environment that you work in, what can help you to focus and develop a reliability program that meets the needs of your organization and your customers. So in your organization, can you identify or do you know what's influencing your reliability program? In the next section, we'll take a look at some of the elements of risk and this idea of risk-based thinking.